here, right? So this is the 40th year in the desert when the Jewish people are traveling through the desert, but they're almost finished. And they've already fought with Moshe Rabbeinu leading a few wars where they've destroyed the giants Sichon and Og. And now they are near the border of Moab, which is actually the country which is not far from where they're going to be crossing into the land of Israel. Just one important thing to remember about this parasha, about the context, is that the nation of Moab was two brothers. There was Moab and Ammon. They were the children of Lot. That's where they come from. And they are, actually, there's a command to the Jewish people that they should not fight, they should not conquer these nations. So you would imagine that these nations wouldn't be afraid of the Jewish people. And yet the parasha begins, we'll see that they are very afraid of the Jewish people. And not only, they're so afraid that they want to find a way to destroy the Jewish people. So that's an interesting thing, why they're so afraid. We have to understand what the fear is from, if the Jews are commanded not to attack them. And what is it about, like, what? Where's the hatred that they want to not only put up a a defense that the Jewish people shouldn't conquer their land, but they actually even want to eradicate the Jewish people. As we say, history is just the same over and over again, but we'll see what it is about, what's happening here. But again, also, just to put in context, the name of the parasha is Balak, and we know that Balak, we'll see, becomes the king. He becomes the king of this nation of Moab. And he hires Bilam, those are the two big characters, to come and, he thinks, curse the Jewish people. And at the end, Bilam blesses the Jewish people. So really, that's the theme. Ah, Hannah, good morning. There we go. That's good. All good. All good. Good to see you. So anyway, so here we are. I'm just going to share the screen, and we're going to read some of the psukim inside. And let's see. So we can see where we are. Here we go. All right, so, okay, so we'll read some of the psukim, and then we're going to give a bit more context here. Okay, so Vayar, so it's on page number one. Vayar Balak ben Tzippor es kol asher asa Yisrael le'emori. Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw all that the Jewish people had done to the Amorites. As we know, that the Jewish people destroyed them, and they had the most incredible, not only did they have an amazing army, but they, the Amorites, had the giant Sichon, who was the one who all the nations around relied on that would provide protection. And here he had been destroyed. So therefore, what was the reaction? Vayogar Mayav. So Mayav was very frightened. Mipnei ha'am, because of, like before the nation. Ma'oid, very. Kiravhu, because it was, it says over here, formidable. Because they were many. Vayokatz Mayav mipnei b'nei Yisrael. And Moab was disgusted in the face of the children of Israel. And what do they do? Vayomer Moab el ziknei Midyan. Now, as we have now, we think that the world's changed. But just like now, there's all kinds of alliances. You know, nations don't work on their own. They find other people, even if they don't like them. But when they have a common enemy, they make friends. So the same thing over here. Moab decided, even though Midyan and Moab weren't such good friends, but Moab decides that they need help, right? So what do? They consult with Midian, and they go to the elders of Midian, and they say to the elders of Midian. So now going to page number two. Ata, yilachichu hakalas kol svivaseinu. The congregation will chew up our entire surroundings, and they compare it, kilchoy hashar, just like an ox chews up, es yerek hasada, the greenery of the field. Balak ben Tzippor, melech l'mayav ba'esai. A bit repetitive. Balak, the son of Tzippor, was the king of Mayav at that time. So we have to understand what's stressing. First of all, why? There's a lot of different interesting things here. If you notice, the Jewish people are being referred to by many different names in these psukim. First it's Yisrael, then it's the nation, then it refers to them as, what does it say over here? It says Hakahol, the congregation, the the nation. It's like very interesting. Why so many different ways of referring? Not only, I'm just going to mute everybody. I forgot to mute. See if I know how to do it. Sorry, I'll stop the share. Here I can mute. Sorry.
It's me.
No, it's okay. I'll stop the share and I'll be able to mute. Where are we here? Okay, good. Sorry. All right, we'll share it back again. Anyways, yeah, so all different ways that they're referring. And also interesting, why does Mayav use that language? Like, why do they say they're going to, or Midian, they say they're going to, like, wipe us like the ox eats the greenery? What's, like, it's such a weird kind of muscle that they're giving for being destroyed by the Jewish people? Obviously, there's some significance to that. And also, why is it repeating that Balak became the king now? What does it mean he became the king now? Like, what is it trying to highlight here that he now is the king of Moab? Something interesting to know is that Balak is actually not a Moabite. Funnily enough, he's originally from Aram, it says. He's from a different nation. And from Midian, from Aram. He's not even a Moabite. And that's also important. We'll see. So why does he become king? And he's not even of royal lineage. He was an important man, but he wasn't really of royalty. And it says that because they were so afraid of what just happened, about that Jewish people seemed so strong, and here they are camped right outside of their border, they decided to make him into the king because that he was very strong, and they thought he would provide protection for them. He was also, interestingly, a magician in his own right. Not only was Bilam a magician, but he was also a magician, and he had certain powers, and he did all kinds of divinity and everything. But obviously, Bilam, in a sense, was a greater magician than him. That's why he hires Bilam to come. But one fascinating thing it says is that the problem with Balak being the king for Mayav was that Mayav thought, the Jewish people are commanded not to invade us, right? They have the command that they're not allowed to touch the nation of Mayav because they come from light. But they said, now that we have a king from a different nation, maybe the Jewish people are allowed to conquer us now. And that made them even more afraid. So that answers a little bit why they feel they have to do something to eradicate, or at least to alleviate, the threat of the Jewish people. So that's a fascinating thing. We'll see in a minute. I just want to read a few more psukim and come back. Before we go to a few more psukim, go back to the first page. I want to just do the Rashi. I'm going to show you something interesting. It says like this. So first of all, that Balak saw what the Jewish people did. What did he see? So it says in Rashi 2, what did he see? He says, Amar, he said to Mayav, Eilu shnei melachim, these two kings, Sichon and Og, shehayinu betuchim aleihem, in whom we had confidence, loy amdu bifneihem, they did not stand up before the Israelites, anu alachas kama v'kama. How much more so that we, who are weaker, and not only are we weaker, but we relied on them to defend us, cannot stand up before them. And therefore, Mayav was very, very frightened. And it says, Vayogar Mayav Loshen Mayra, it's an expression of fear. Guru Lachem, like fear for themselves. Vayokatz Mayav, and Mayav was disgusted. Katsu b'chayeyim, they were disgusted with their lives, which means such a level of fear, as we know, when somebody is riddled with anxiety, they can't live and they feel like their life is worthless now, because if the threat is right there at their border, they thought, what's life worth? That we're going to be destroyed by the Jewish people. It's interesting. It's not only that they're afraid, but they're also disgusted, which shows a certain element of how they feel about the Jewish people and how they feel if the Jewish people conquer them. In such a, like, it's a horrible thing. It's like, this nation of all the nations are going to be the ones to destroy us. So it has that arrogance also with it. It's a horrific thing that we can see carries through the generation, that hatred of the Jewish people that they have even then. And therefore, they feel they have to do something to defend themselves. I want to show you something. Go to the back on the page. Go to page, a just fascinating thing, because I feel like it go all the way to the back of your booklet. It's page 15. I just want to show you something interesting here. It's so relevant for, I don't know, so like whatever, things don't change. Just a quite a beautiful lesson in a way.
15?
Yeah, page 15 at the end of your booklets, and I'll show you something nice. So we're saying that the nation of Moab is afraid, right? That's what we're saying. And let me just see something here. And Rashi just said that, why were they afraid? Because Oig, Sichon and Oig had just been destroyed, and now they are afraid. So the truth is, what's happening here? Because as we just said, really, really, they shouldn't have been afraid. They shouldn't have been afraid. Why? Why shouldn't they have been afraid? For one reason. because they knew, they were aware of the command that Hashem had given to the Jewish people that they are not permitted to conquer Moav. So really, Moav should not have been afraid. The question here, and this is what Rashi's trying to figure out, is what is causing them this tremendous fear? Why are they so afraid? Don't they know that the Jewish people are already have already been given the command not to conquer them? So, what?
They knew.
For sure they knew. This was something which was well known. What were they so afraid of? So I want to show you something. If you look on page, on this page 15 in the booklet, I want to show you something interesting. They say like this. They say, so this question, this is what Rashi is answering. Bavarent mitzayin loshin, elu shnei melochim shayinu betuchim aleihem, loy amdu bifneihem. These two kings that we were relying on, they were not able to stand up in front of the Jewish people. They weren't able to fight against, and they were destroyed. So therefore they say, us, how much more so? What does that mean? Balak hat getracht, so Balak thought, as das was die Eden haben früher ausgemitten zu Melchama halten mit Moav, that the fact that the Jewish people originally avoided fighting with the nation of Moav, which they had done up until now, they had avoided it. And we know something interesting. Not only did they avoid, but they actually sent messengers initially and said, can we please pass through your land, as they had done previously. And Moav had said no. And when they got the answer no, they didn't start a fight. The Jewish people didn't start up with Moav. They didn't do anything. So what were they afraid of, in a sense? But they felt something interesting. They said, why is it that the Jewish people haven't, so to speak, began to fight with us? What's the logic? So they thought like this. They thought, why? It's because, not necessarily because of the command that Hashem gave them not to fight. Rather, they thought, therefore, was they have meure gehad for them oisgen von am melchome eze shetiye. They thought maybe the motivation, what is the motivation for the Jewish people to hold back from fighting, is because the two giants, Sichon and Og, are around, and the Jewish people are afraid that if we start a war with Moav, well then Sichon and Og will come and defend Moav. Very interesting. It's, you know, we project the way we think on others. So they don't listen to God. They know that there's a command from God, but they don't care what Hashem says, right? Moav obviously doesn't care. So to them, they don't necessarily know if the Jewish people are really, really ready to listen to what Hashem says. But what they are sure is that the Jewish people would live the way they live, which means that if there's arms, if you're strong, you can fight, right? It's the survival of the fittest. It's the strongest one that's going to be. So now, if Sichon and Og are there, the Jewish people won't fight with Moav. But now that Sichon and Og have been destroyed, what is going to hold them back? What will stop them from fighting against us? It's not, and it's what's fascinating, and we'll see in a minute, it's not even the people. Look how the Pasuk said. The Pasuk says, Balak. Who was the one that felt it the strongest? Balak. He was the one that was the most afraid. It's quite interesting. Not necessarily the people, but the king himself. And here, so we say like this, why also? Because, and we say a fascinating thing. What else, not only Sichon and Og, because what does he know about the Jewish people? What's the tradition? That the Jewish people are the children of Yaakov, and the other nations come from Esav. Even though they come from others as well, but some of them come from Esav. And we know, what was Esav's strength? The sword. What's the Jewish people's strength? Their mouth, as we know. Their Torah. Their godliness, right? But what did they just see now? What did the Jewish people just do? They used the sword to fight against Sichon, right? They destroyed Sichon. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He, you know, they picked up arms and they fought. They actually fought with arms. So they thought, oh, the Jewish people are not just sticking to their strength, they're using our, so to speak. They're going into our domain. They're using a sword, which we would have thought they wouldn't have used. That also makes them more afraid. And if they've already used it, what's going to stop them from using it against us? And this is what Balak feels. It's very, very interesting. And that's why Rashi, he brings it out very strongly. He says it was because of the fact that they just destroyed those two kings. That's why Balak is petrified. But I want to show you something really beautiful, something fascinating in the lesson. If you go to the second column where it says the letter Tess, it says, V'gizokt frier. It's be'ez Balak hat gezen v'di idin haben der harbit. That when Balak saw that the Jewish people actually killed these two kings, shahayinu betuchim aleihem, that they were relying on, hatar vegen dem derzelt dem folk. What did he do immediately? He told his nation, he told his people, und das hat gewirkt, and that's what influenced that not only was Balak afraid, but now the people are afraid. Something very interesting. He's the king. Right, so we would think, and we know that, well, I mean, it's not like that nowadays, but what's the role of the king? The role of the king is to defend the people in every way, not only militarily, but obviously to instill confidence. What should Balak have done had he been a good leader? He should have, even if he's aware, and even if he's afraid, he should have put up some kind of fake front. I'm not afraid of these people. These are just the Jewish people. We have the sword. They just have their mouth. Whatever, he could have fumbled around. But what did he do? He didn't do that. Why? So look what he says. So was why did he have to share the fact that he was so afraid and the fact that the Jewish people are now coming and that they can destroy us? So he says, Saivi haben ze doch in dem gar nicht gekannt helfen. They wouldn't have been able to help anyways, as he felt. He felt that they didn't have anything to stand up to the Jewish people. Heinz so lieb, was hat gedarft machen, dem Vajogar in Land? Why did he put all this fear in the nation? Is there tirutz left them? So what's the answer? As Bishas Vayar Balak is Kalashar also Yisrael le'emayri. When Balak saw what the Jewish people had done to the Emirates, is zu tumult gevarin. He became so to tumult. He was overwhelmed, confused, petrified to the level that he lost himself. He was just totally lost. Because why? We see something very interesting. And the Herzog nitke kent by Herschel, he couldn't rule over himself and he couldn't control himself. Und sich an einhalten, auf nit zu reden wegen dem. He couldn't control himself not to talk. Why? Weil Harishon heng Berschuss Libam. What rules the wicked? Their heart. In other words, their emotions. He had no fear of God. He didn't have something higher than himself to rely on. As we say, a Jew is ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We are also afraid, and it's normal for us to be afraid. And yet, at the same time, we have the ability to do both, to conquer our fear as well, as you see. I don't know how, it's supernatural, but we do. But the people in Israel, definitely. They're afraid, and at the same time, they're not afraid because they have a higher power. Because we're not in our hearts don't control us. It's our neshama that controls us. But the Rishayim don't have that. And therefore, Balak's fear took over, and then he, instead of being a good leader, spread the fear to the entire people. And that's where we see, as we see, the difference between Balak and Moshe Rabbeinu. What happened with Moshe Rabbeinu? We see a fascinating thing. I want to show you. Balak hat gleich mefarsim gewendi meirizayim. Balak immediately spread his fear. Biz as the ganze folk hat meir gatzalei, the whole nation was petrified. Masha ein kein Moshe Rabbeinu, but that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't that way. Afilu be'eserat meir gahat far oig, even when he was afraid of oig. Remember? It says he was. Why was he afraid of oig? He actually had grounds to be afraid, because he thought Oig had certain schus and merits. Remember we said, because Oig was the one that told Avraham that light was captured. So he thought Oig has merits. Maybe Hashem will protect Oig. So Moshe was afraid. But what happens is nit blois. Thus, if you go to the next page, nit gevent dem kenem nit derzelt. Not only Moshe didn't tell anybody, he was afraid, but he didn't share it, he didn't show it. Nor nochmer. Afilu oif im, since on the top it says 166, right? It's page 16. But even more than that, it says, Afilu oif im alein is klal nit gevent kente ken meire. You couldn't see fear on Moshe. He put a strong face. He put an image of strength. Why? because he knew that's what a leader has to do. He has to instill confidence in his people that we can do it, even though he didn't know for sure that he can do it. But he had to rely on Hashem. And then Hashem reassured him, yes, don't worry, I will protect you. But Moshe was able to do that. When Vidar Lashon is in the Gemara, that says, Given Blois, Beliba, it was only in his heart. So we see something quite incredible. And here, a very, very beautiful thing is shared here about the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, that when he was imprisoned, he wrote beautifully, and he shares that when he was put into prison, and the prison that he was put into, most people actually didn't leave alive, and he was accused of many things that he could have been killed at any moment, and that's what the Russians did to many people. I mean, we know Stalin killed 30 million people, so it was very likely. But what happens? He writes himself that he decided that he was not going to show an ounce of fear. He was afraid inside, but he wasn't going to show. Not to the Russians, not to the interrogators, not to the people around him. He was going to put on a brave face. Why? Because that's the way we fight the evil, so to speak. Even when we don't necessarily feel it, but we act it and then we feel it. That's what happens. And it's because a Jew has the ability to have that connection to Hashem that we can do that. So you see the contrast here, and it's quite amazing because it's just important to set the tone for the way this parsha unfolds, because this is like the opposite of us, you know, in a sense. This is the nation that is the nations of the world and how they fight against us. Up until now, we've been shown how we fight against them. And here we have the other side. We have a little bit of insight into how they think. So if we go back now, to the first page, you can see the psukim, it makes sense. Look what, I just want to read one more line from this page. 1 minute. Sorry. I want to show you that. He says that's why, and just because it's also tied into the parasha that we just had, he says like this, that we show that we are not afraid. Just the last paragraph. And das kufahat mitkepel to bring in them biyotcha nasati, I said that I put him into your hands. And this is talking about Oig was put into the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. As min is a rois mit a nitzach and gomer, we left with a total victory. As we read in last week's parsha, that the Jewish people left Egypt biyad rama, right, with an outstretched up hand, like with, in other words, feeling full of confidence, full of, if you want to say, there's a confidence and an uprightness, on bereish glei, in a revealed way. In other words, in a way that we don't hide, that we're not coward, we're not feeling less than, we feel strong and empowered because we have Hashem with us. And this is how a Jew faces the enemy. This is how a Jew faces the challenge that we have to face, unfortunately. So now coming back, I'm scrolling back. I want to show you something on the first page. If you see the pasuk now, it makes sense how the pasuk is written. Because the pasuk has very interesting order. It says, Vayar Balak, right? Balak saw, es kol asher asa Yisrael, that what the Jewish people did, right? So he saw. And then it says, Vayogar Mayav, the nation was afraid. Because who was afraid? Because Balak was afraid. That's why the nation became afraid. They didn't even see. Who saw? Only he saw. And yet he instilled the fear into them. So we see the difference between that kind of leadership and our leadership, and not only our leadership, but our approach to everything that we face, all of our challenges. Just a very beautiful thing to see at the beginning. Okay, I just want to show you to go on a few more psukim. Before we go into a few more psukim, just share a beautiful, it's a very funny medrash, but the medrash tells us, you know, he's called Balak ben Tzipor, which is a funny name. Tzipor is a bird. What's Balak ben Tzipor? Maybe his father's name was Tzipor, but it says, the medrash tells us, that no, Tzipor meant something. Tzipor was a kind of magic, or I don't know what you want to call it, divinity that they had, and he was proficient in that divinity. And what they would do is, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but whatever it means, probably symbolic of something, but they would take, different types of metals, and they would make the image of a bird, like with a silver beak and golden eyes, and I don't know what different kinds of things, but then they would take the tongue of a real bird, of a live bird, and put it in, and they would do all kinds of things, and then this bird would speak and give them messages. And he was proficient in this kind of magic. And he actually heard from this bird that, that it's a good idea to hire Bilam, you know, and to get Bilam to come and help him to get rid of the Jewish people. But it's interesting what this actually represents, but what we do see is, and this is something important, is that when the Jewish, we don't think, this parsha, again, is really focused more on the nation of Moab, and specifically Balak and Bilam, and how they have this whole thing that they're this whole scheme that they're orchestrating to try and get and destroy the Jewish people. What's fascinating is that we don't very much see the recipient. The Jewish people here are a little bit passive in this story, in that they're sitting there. We're not even aware if they hear the bracha at the time. You know, it's interesting if you think about it, because they're on the mountain, the Jewish people are in the valley, and Bilam is saying the bracha. So they're not even aware necessarily that they're being blessed. They're not, but one thing they're for sure not aware. They're not aware that Balak is hiring somebody to curse them. In other words, they're not aware of the danger that they're in. You realize? They're not aware that Moab is doing all these kind of things to try and get them. They're just camped there peacefully, in there, which is quite an incredible thing that's happening. And this is also what we wish, we hope all the time, of that it should never come to fruition, that they should all do all their schemes, but that it should all come to nothing, and that we should never even become aware of all the things. Because the truth is that there are many times, unfortunately, we know that they do try. They try all the time. The whole world tries the whole time. They don't stop trying, and they'll come up with the craziest things. You know, we think that the stories in the Torah are crazy. You know, like this bird talking. But I don't know. I think that the UN is even more crazy. So I don't know that we can't believe it's mamish. So it's the same thing, even worse. So anyways, that's exactly the same thing happens the whole time. But we see from here something very powerful. But here we have that this scheme. So let's go back into the psukim and see. I want to just share one thing. We won't do it inside this mefarish, but it's very fascinating. I mentioned that they have different names of the Jewish people. And the reason is because we see here, fascinating, what is it that causes the nation and Balak to be so afraid afraid and hate the Jewish people? So there's a few different motivations. The first thing we talk about is Balak himself. And it says, Vayar, Balak saw, all that Yisrael did, right? It calls them Yisrael, not B'nai Yisrael, but Yisrael, right? What does it mean that he saw? So it says, Balak knew, because he was a king, and he had all the chronicles, and he read the previous history. And what does he read about? He reads that during the time of Yaakov Avinu, who was called Yisrael, what did Yaakov do? Do you remember after Shechem had kidnapped Dinah? I just think about it now, everything is so the same. In other words, they didn't start up, but whatever. Anyways, after we were hurt, what did Yaakov do? Well, his sons did something he didn't want, but they destroyed Shechem. They deserved it, but whatever. They destroyed Shechem. But then it says that the other nations weren't very impressed, and there was a nation, Emiri, that were right near, whatever, or Shechem is called Emiri, or there was, and they started up, they were going to fight with Yaakov, so Yaakov destroyed them in self-defense. So Balak reads about this. So Balak knows that he has a vendetta against Yaakov's children, because years ago, 500 years ago, Yaakov had fought a war against the Amorites. So he thinks time to take revenge against, well, why not? It's always justified, no problem. So this is Balak. That's why it says Vayar, he saw. Not that he heard, because he read about it. That's his thing. What is Mayav afraid of? Vayagar Mayav, Mipnei Ha'am. What is the referring to? So the we know that when the Jewish people left Egypt, there was the Jews, and then there was the Erev Rav, you know, the multitudes of converts. And in some places, they are referred to as the the nation, because they really don't belong to the Jewish people. They're really from the Egyptians. They were a lot. More, it says in number, they were more than the Jewish people. It's interesting, it says. When they saw the number, that's what they were afraid of. So many people, it's easy for them to fight against us if they have so many. So they saw the and that's what caused them a fear. And then it says, Vayokatz Mayav Mipnei B'nei Yisrael. They were disgusted because of the B'nei Yisrael. What is that? What is the B'nei Yisrael? So B'nei Yisrael is obviously referring to the Jewish people, which is a lot smaller of a nation. But what does it mean that they were disgusted? So that goes back to the fact, and I'm going to see what the Kliok, I forgot that one. It was something specific that the Jewish people had done. And I just want to see what it was. It was the Kliok said it. I'll just see quickly what the Kliok says. He says that they were afraid because, what were they specifically the Jewish people? Because That's right. Because, and that's why it brings the other thing. Because they said like this, that the Jewish people, this was fear. This was actually, and disgusted. Why? Because they said that they know what Hashem promised the Jewish people. That Hashem promised the Jewish people that they're going to get the land of Israel. Now, we are not in the land. We're outside of the land. But they were afraid that the Jewish people might want to expand their borders. And they said they know how the Jewish people operate. The Jewish people are blessed by God. So they compared them to like a vine. Actually, the prophets compare us to grapes. And when you want to plant a vineyard, what do? You uproot all of the thorns and all the weeds. You get rid of it. And then you put the seeds so that the grapes will grow. So they were afraid. They said, we are like kites, like thorns. They knew. They're just extra. They're superfluous. They're not necessary. So what will happen? We will be uprooted so that the Jewish people could be planted in our space. It was an irrational fear, but it was a fear and it was a disgust. So they said, we better get rid of them. And then the last thing it calls them is Kahal. Kahal is like a congregation. And what does it say? It says that they're going to be like the ox. That's what he compares. Remember, it says, just like the ox. What's the words that's used over here? It says that the ox chews up the greenery of the field. Who was called an ox? Yosef. Do you remember Yosef is called an ox in the Brachos? What are they afraid of? They're afraid like this. Now, they are Moab, but there's also Midian. We said Balak is from the nation of Midian. One of the people, remember when the brother sold Yosef before he was taken down to Egypt? So it says he was sold a few times. So first they sold him to a group of Midianites who were traveling, and the Midianites then sold him to the Egyptians. So they thought the Jews want to take revenge on the Midianites because of what they did to Yosef, who is referred to as an ox. It might sound all far-fetched, but you see over here, when there's a hatred, you find excuses for your hatred. You could find all kinds of reasons. But they felt this fear that the Jewish people would want to take revenge on them. Therefore, they said, we'll first act out, and we'll make sure we'll eradicate them, and they will be gone. Another fascinating thing that's also in the Pesukim you can see, Balak, even though he is really not from Moav, and he is the head, and he should have been felt strong, but nevertheless, it says that he hated the Jewish people. And he hated the Jewish people, and therefore, when his nation was afraid, he was very quick to act on it and to try and do something which can destroy the Jewish people. But now we come to Bilam, and let's see the next few psukim. What's Bilam's agenda? So let's see. So, Vayishlach Malachim, right? So he sends messengers to Bilam, Ben Ba'ar, Psaira. So it tells you exactly who he is. It's Bilam, the son of Ba'ar. He lives in a place called Psaira, Asher Al Hanar, which is by the river, Eretz B'nei Amai, by the land of the members of his people. We'll see why he has to specify. Likrai Lai, to call him, Lamar, saying, and he gives him the whole speech, and he says, Hine am yotzam in Mitzrayim, a people has come out of Egypt. Remember, the people came out already 40 years ago. But anyways, Hine kisas ein ha'aretz, they have covered the eye of the land, v'hu yoshev mimuli, and it rests opposite me. And therefore, please come quickly to curse them. Before we go further, I want to understand something. Why does it have to be so specific about who Bilam's father is, which nation he's from, exactly where he lives, near the river and near his people? What's going on here? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says something interesting. When you're in a state of fear, right, so you act in a way quite hastily, right? And not only hastily, but you want to get things done quickly because you're petrified. So Balak, it says, and his people are very afraid. So when he sends the messengers to Bilam, he wants to make sure that it happens as quickly as possible. So he wants to, first of all, forewarn that they go to the right Bilam. That's why he says the father's name, right? Not to some other Bilam, Bilam ben Ba'ar. But you know which one? The one that lives in Pesaira, because he wants them to go to the right location, not to go somewhere else and then have to find them in the wrong location. But not only that, what happens? Maybe Pesaira, there could be a few, so he tells which one near the river. But then he says, you know what? If he's not home, you should just know that he lives in a place which is his nation, meaning people know him. So they'll know where to find him. So you can ask other people and they'll direct you. So you can see it's very interesting how the pasuk is. Very exact. You're going to find him, I'm sure. And he's giving them exact instructions because they are very, very, very afraid. Okay. And as we know, as we said, he's interesting that he said he's first of all he asks the elders of Midian to join with them to go to Bilam because they're making friends because they have one common enemy. But I just want to say, why do they? But interesting also, why does he even ask the elders of Midian anything? Why does he want their help? Why does Balak need the elders of Midian at all here? So it says interesting thing because Balak knew that Moshe had spent time in Midian. Right? Even Zipporah was from Midian, his wife. Exactly, that's right. That's right. His father-in-law Yisrael is from Midian. We'll see about Yisrael in a second. Interesting, this is Parshas Yisrael this week. Everything is such Hashgacha Pratis because I want to show you something interesting about Bilam. But before we get to Bilam, I'm just going to tell you that. So what happens? They know that Moshe spent a lot of time in Midian. So they said, you know who's going to know how to fight against Moshe? Midian. They might know his weaknesses because he spent time there. So that's when they consult Midian. And Midian says, yeah, we know his strength. His strength is his mouth. And that's why they decide to go to Bilam because Bilam had the power of the mouth to curse, to bless. They thought he had the power. So that's why they decide this method instead of going to outright war, rather let's try to curse the Jewish people because that's the way we're going to get them. And that's when they approach Bilam. Now, something interesting about Bilam. Do you remember when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim initially? Paray was getting afraid also of the Jewish people, right? They were multiplying and he was afraid. So he has three famous advisors. Who are the advisors of Paray? Yisrael, Bilam, the same Bilam, and the other one is Eiv. Yes. And he asks them what to do. So Yisrael says, don't touch them. Don't harm them. And because he said that, he had to run away. He defended the Jewish people. He didn't want, okay? And in that merit, actually, he became the father-in-law of Moshe and his children, grandchildren, whatever, actually converted and became part of the Jewish nation. Eiv said nothing. He was silent. But what does Bilam say? Bilam says, bathe in the blood of their babies. He's like now. You know, he knows exactly how he's a friend of Hamas. He knows exactly what to do. So Bilam is the evil one. He's the wicked one. He's the one that hated the Jewish people and gave Paray all the terrible ideas of how to enslave the Jewish people. Interestingly, he didn't die then. He left Egypt because he wasn't an Egyptian. He was just an advisor to Paray. And now he comes up again. And here again, he tries to destroy the Jewish people. At the end of this story, he will be destroyed. But it's interesting that this is the same Bilam. Fascinating thing. So you see, it's interesting how it's all, yeah. Yisrael, the name of the Parsha, Parshas Yisrael, is the one that we get the Torah in. So he gets such a tremendous gift, in a sense. And Bilam also has a name named after him. We have to understand that. He doesn't have a name, Balak, the Parsha is Balak, but he's mentioned in the Torah again. But what comes through him are the most incredible brachas. But that's despite him, not because of him. Okay, so anyways, let's see. Let's go on here. And let's see on page, let me just see, and which one I want to see? Ah, interesting. It's, if you look on page 2 of your book with Psaira, it says to Psaira, right? Not 5. I want to just do Rashi. It says Bilam was like this money changer. Shahakol meritzen loy lois. Everyone rushes money. Kach kol hamalach meritzen loy igreseim. So would all of the kings rush their letters to him? And according to the simple meaning, this was the name of the place. Meaning to say that we can see over here, we're going to see it a lot. What motivates Bilam? Money. He had this incredible, incredible desire for money. And we're going to see, what does money have to do with anything? He always charged exorbitant sums for his services. And his services were widely sought out because people would ask him advice and the future, you know, and all the different things that he could try to arrange for them. Why also is Balak eager to call Bilam? So it says that many years before, Bilam had told Balak, you will become a king. Balak, we said, wasn't from royal lineage, and now he had become a king. So he said, oh, Bilam does know what he's talking about, because he prophesied I would be a king, so I can rely on him. The commentaries tell us Bilam had no idea, but what he would do is, he couldn't actually bless, for sure not. He didn't have the power of blessing. He couldn't arrange the future. But what he was able to do was sometimes he had certain insights. Because like in those days, he had a bit of astrology. And he saw in the astrology that Balak will become a king. So what he did was he made believe he was giving him a blessing. The blessing officially comes true. And now that the blessing comes true, now Balak is using his services. But we'll see how it works. So let's see what happens. Let's come back into the story. Okay, sorry. So now if we go to page, we just read the pasuk, that they're still, okay, so we've just read on page 3. So now, Va'ata. So now, he's asking Balak is asking Bilam, right? L'chana, he's telling the messengers to tell him, Orali esham hazeh, invoke curse upon this nation. So we're on page 4. Ki atsum humi many, because they are more powerful than me. Ulai uchal makebai, maybe, perhaps, I will succeed. We will strike against it. Agashenu min ha'aretz, and I will drive it away from the land. Ki yadati, because I know es asher tevarech mevarech, that whomever you bless will be blessed. Asher tar, you are, and whoever you cursed is cursed. Right? He knows because that's what happened to himself. But just note something interesting. What does he say? That he wants to chase them away from the land. That's Balak's message. We'll see how Bilam. Vayelchu ziknei Mayav. So the elders of Mayav go with the elders of Midian together. Uksamim biyadam. What do? They take the charms, in other words, the tools, all of the magic tools, they take it with them. Why? Because they don't want Bilam to say, I don't have my supplies, I have to go buy it. They want him to hurry and say, we have this, just come with us, we have everything ready. Okay, so what happens? They take it, vayavoyu el Bilam, and they bring it to Bilam, vayedabru ela, they speak to him, divrei Balak, all the words of Balak. Vayomer aleim. So what does he say to them? What's Bilam's response? Linu pai halayla. Sleep here, spend the night. Vahashivaisi eschem davar, and I will give you a response. Kasher yidaber Hashem elai, as Hashem speaks to me. Vayeshvu sorei Mayav. So the officers of Mayav stay. It's interesting. In Bilam with Bilam. Who's missing here? The elders of Midian seem to have disappeared. It says the elders of Midian came with the elders of Mayav, and now we only see the elders of Mayav. Why? Because when Bilam answered, spend the night, Midian thought, this guy is a fraud. He's a fraud. If he can't talk to God now, he's full of garbage. We're leaving. And they were right. He was a fraud. But they left. Only the elders of Mayav stayed. They were too afraid to leave. They had to hold on to anything. So they stayed. And now, why does Yitzhak say spend the night? Why doesn't he give them an answer before? Because we know that, first of all, he really doesn't have prophecy. And even the hope that he has a message from God is only going to be in a dream at night. He's not going to be able to speak to God during the day. That's definitely not happening, and he knows that. So he has to ask them to wait for the night. The truth is that in the merit of the Jewish people, Hashem does give him a message. Let's see what the message is. So, now what happens? Vayavayelikim el Bilam, right? So Hashem does come to Bilam on page 6, Vayomer. And he says to him, Mi ha noshim ha'ela imach. Who are these people with you? So, it's interesting. Hashem is asking Bilam, who are these people? Obviously, Hashem knows who these people are. Hashem knows everything, right? Is this God? So interesting. So we say like this, it's just the same thing as the first appearance of God in the Torah. What does Hashem say to Adam when he appears to him? Ayeka, where are you? Of course he knows where he is. Because Rashi, the simple answer is, he's making conversation. It says Hashem teaches us how to be a mensch, you know, like so to speak, how to conduct a conversation, even if you are more important than the person, how to make somebody feel comfortable. When you meet somebody, you don't get straight to the point. You first small talk. Where are you? Who are you? Who's with you? Just to get the person comfortable. That was the idea. But Bilam, because he was wicked and because he thought he was even greater than God, in his arrogance, thought, if God has to ask me who are these people, well, that means he doesn't know everything. Maybe I will be able to get away with cursing the Jewish people. And actually, that was partially Hashem's intention. Hashem's intention was both things. Was either Bilam could take the hint and see that I'm appearing to him and I'm making conversation and maybe he should stop before he starts, or if he doesn't want to stop before he starts, he can read something into it that he wants to, which is that I don't know everything, and give him the confidence to go along with his bad plan. And that's what he does. Okay, so what happens now? So Bilam answers, Vayemer Bilam el Halikin. Balak ben Tzipor, Melech Mayav. Do you see how he says it? Balak, the son of Tzipor, the king of Mayav sent. He didn't just say Balak. Why? It was so arrogant, because he's saying to God, you think I'm nothing, But the king of Moab thinks I'm important enough to send messengers to me. So I'm really something. That was his arrogance, okay? Hine, and what is the message? Hine ha'amayetzim in Mitzrayim, that the nation, behold, the nation that has left Egypt, v'yichas es ein haretz, they cover the eye of the land. Ata lecha kava li oisai, he's asking me to curse. Kava is a stronger language of curse. Ulai uchal li lochem bai v'geir ashtiv, maybe I will be able to make war against it. And look what he says, and drive it away. Officially, he's just repeating the words of Balak to God. But he misses a word. Balak said, I will chase them away from the land. What does Bilam interpret it? I will chase them away toad. It doesn't say from the land. That means eradicate them. Bilam hates the Jews even more than Balak. He wants to eradicate them. It's not good enough just to move them a little bit. We don't want two states. We want them out. You see, this is Bilam. Bilam hates the Jewish people. It's quite fascinating because he's not even threatened by them. You realize, he's just some guy living his own peaceful life. Exactly. He had no problem. He wants, and you can see from the words how he uses them. But the thing you can see here is the actual arrogance is so strong. The arrogance comes across, and that's really the key, unfortunately, the key. If you want to say also the real contrast between him and Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw before. Balak and Moshe and Bilam and Moshe. So this arrogance and this incredible hatred that he's filled with is what's driving him. Okay? And not only that, it's three things and his greed. We'll see. We'll see how his greed comes through in the next pasuk. So the next pasuk says, okay, in the two pasukim. So what does Hashem say? Vayomer elikim el Bilam. Lo say lechim ohem. Don't go with them. Lo yisar es ha'am. Do not curse the nation. Ki baruchu. Because they are blessed. This is a very beautiful word. The Jewish people are a blessed people, and you cannot curse them. Do not curse them. There's a very interesting question that the Arachaim, asks. I think it was the Arachaim. Why does Hashem even have to tell him that? What does Hashem care? Let him go and curse. His curse doesn't mean anything. Who cares? What about it? So it's very interesting. The Arachaim says like this, that really, Balak, what was Bilam's strength, so to speak, as we saw? Bilam had a little bit of his astrological knowledge, so he knew a little bit of the future. So he knew sometimes how to divine the right time, had it when Hashem is angry, and then he thought, you know, and then if Hashem is anyways angry, what you say, if you say something negative, it could come true because Hashem anyways wants to punish the people. But what Hashem didn't want, why Hashem didn't want Bilam here to curse them was because Hashem knew, we know how the story unfortunately unfolds afterwards. After Bilam does end up blessing the Jewish people, do you remember what happens? The Jewish people sin, right? Because Balak comes up with another idea and he sends out, you know, the princess and the girls, and the Jewish people sin, and that's the story with Pinchas. And then there's actually a terrible magefa, there's a terrible plague, and a lot of Jews died. And Hashem knew that would happen. So Hashem said, if I allow Bilam to curse the people, what they'll think is that it was his curse that caused the plague. But Hashem says, not the curse, it's the actions of the people. It's because I needed to do that. So Hashem wanted to avoid even that mistake that people might attribute some power to the curse of Bilam. And that's why he prevents him actually from cursing. It's an interesting thing. But he says, don't curse. But let's see what happens. So now we would think, any normal person, if you get a vision from God, and God tells you not to go, he should have told the messengers, go home. I can't do it. But what does he say? Vayakom Bilam babayker. Bilam gets up in the morning. Vayomer el sarei Balak. And he says to the officers of Balak, lechu el artzachem, go to your nation, go back home. Ki me'ein Hashem l'siti l'haloichi machem. Look how he answers. He doesn't say Hashem doesn't let me curse them. What does he say? Hashem has not given me permission to go with you. What does that mean, to go with you? I can't go with you. I might be able to go with somebody else. Maybe you are not important enough. Maybe he didn't send me the right means of transportation. He only sent me the ordinary car. He didn't send me the Lexus. I can't go with you. That's what But that's what Bilam is implying. And actually, that's what they interpret it as. Vayakumu sorei mayav. So they taki get up. Vayavoyu al Balak. They return to Balak. Vayemru. And they say, Me'ein Bilam halachimanu, that Bilam refused to come with us. Vayosef oid Balak shalach sorim. And look what it says. Sorim rabim v'nechbodim me'ela. He sends more and more honorable ones. Because he thinks maybe that's why Bilam didn't come. Vayavoyu el Bilam, so they come to Bilam. Vayoyimru lo, and they say to him, what do they say? They say, oh, you don't have any more psukim, right? No. Ooh, okay, so I didn't finish. Okay, so yeah, because I thought we, okay. Yes, yeah, we're going to do it next week, but I'll tell you what. We'll see something fascinating, and I just want to finish with this thought. So they are trying to convince him to come. We know that Bilam comes, because we know the end of the story. He comes with them. Hashem tells him again not to go, but he begs Hashem. And there's a very beautiful line that Chazal say. Chazal say, "Bederech she'adam roitze leilech meilichen oisai." The way a person wants to go, he is led. Meaning that at the end, Hashem says, "Yeah, you can go with them, but just you're going to have to say what I tell you to say, right?" But we find a fascinating thing in life. Sometimes we want something very much. Sometimes it's not really good for us, but we just want it. We just want it, so we make it happen almost. And in a sense, it can go both ways. If a person wants the right thing, Hashem will lead him along the right way and enable him to get there despite obstacles. If a person wants the wrong thing too much, sometimes also Hashem allows, so to speak, removes certain obstacles that were there initially because you want so much. So we have to be careful of what we want. And we at least have to want the right things so we're led along the right path. And we can see here something quite incredible, that the hatred, as we see, the arrogance and the greed of Bilam led him to his destruction and Balak's destruction and to the incredible blessings that the Jewish people do receive. Just going to finish with one more thought from the Nesiv HaShalom. We won't do it inside, but he explains beautifully that what was it that they were afraid? It's interesting. It says that Mayav and Balak and Bilam, they were so afraid of the Jewish people and they wanted to prevent them. It says, and you saw the language, he wanted to remove them from the land, Haaretz. We know in Torah, what does Haaretz usually mean? Eretz Yisrael, that's the land, it's the only land. What does it mean? Why was he so afraid that they would enter the land of Israel? They don't live in the land of Israel, what do they care? Let them go. Well, we see everybody cares, but even if you don't live there, you care. Even if you're in Australia, you care, but it doesn't matter. But the point is here, why? Why are they so afraid? Because they knew something spiritually. What was it? It's like this, that the Jewish people are so connected to the land of Israel on a physical level, simply. 100%. The Jew cannot be separated from the land, the Torah, the Jew, it's all one. But what does the land of Israel represent also? The land of Israel represents the fact that the Jewish person goes into the land, and we know that we have certain mitzvahs that we can only do in the land of Israel. What kind of mitzvahs? Specifically mitzvahs of farming. You know, we farm everywhere, but the mitzvahs of farming in Israel are incredible. You know, in those days, they were able to leave a corner of the field for the poor. You don't do shmitah. It's beautiful mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs to do with the physical world. The most physical mitzvahs are done in the land of Israel. We know that what is, so to speak, the purpose of Hashem creating the world was that Hashem should find a dwelling place. Where should we reveal Hashem specifically? In the earth, on the land, on the physical parts, in the material parts of our life. And this is what Balak and Bilam wanted to prevent the Jewish people. They wanted to prevent us from being able to fulfill Hashem's will the way Hashem wanted, which was for us to be in the land of Israel, doing the mitzvahs in the way, the best way possible, and living our lives in sync, so to speak, materially, physically, spiritually. It's all one. A Jew is not, we don't have different domains, so to speak. We live a beautiful, harmonious life. That's the life of a Jew. We're not one person on Shabbos and one person on Sunday. We're the same Jew the whole time. And especially, where do we shine? We shine in the way we live in this world. That's where we see that we are truly a Jew. And this is what they wanted to prevent. And that's why it says he wanted to remove them from the land, from the ability to do a mitzvah in the material world, and especially in Eretz Yisrael. And this is what Bilam wanted and Balak wanted, and we know that they didn't manage. So, Mirtz Hashem, we just need, as we said last week, you know, when we read the splitting of the sea, I said we need these miracles. Mirtz Hashem now. Mirtz Hashem should be in, as we say, all the learning should be in the merit of the soldiers and the hostages, and enough saying the hostages, and everybody should be safe. Mirtz Hashem. So we should have a good week. Yes.